This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And a good Saturday morning to you on this 7th day of December. Time once again for a car chat with our pal Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC-certified technician and runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. He will give you a diagnosis over the radio, absolutely free, of what may be ailing your car, your truck, your van. So let's hear from you earlier, sooner, rather than later, because Nick will take his leave about 7:45. 651-461-9226. Nick, good morning. We're already getting some text messages for you. How are you doing? How was your week?
It was a good week, you know. It was really cold, but it seems to warm up a little bit for the weekend, so we'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a break. We're going to cool off here in a couple midweek or so, but then back to kind of average temperature, which is good news. 651-461-9226. You can call and chat with Nick if you like. Always good to hear your voice, or it's easier, just send a text at 651-461-9226. Before we get too far behind, and again, our time goes by so quickly because Nick takes his leave and makes way for Ted Farrell at 7:45. So here we go. Hi, Denny. It says my 2016 Honda Pilot oil life is 10%. I use high mileage oil. Can I use it to 5% or 0 and then change the oil? What do you think? We've had questions about these percentages before. What is your professional opinion, Nick?
Well, it really varies based on each vehicle and driving condition. As you know, we like to try to go based on mileage. I think it's a little more consistent. You know, with the swings in temperatures and driving habits, I like to be kind of consistent with the oil change. Excuse me. I would say every 5,000 miles on a synthetic oil. There are some other products talk about higher mileage or extended life, and I do believe that the chemistry in those is probably suitable to do those things. But my opinion, based on just what we see, the work that comes in and all the more oil-related repairs that we're making, I think it's a fairly inexpensive thing just to change it every 5,000 miles to save yourself possibly thousands of dollars down the road on something that can be prevented.
Oh, absolutely. It is so important. And again, I mean, we're not saying oil changes are cheap. They're not cheap, but considering what may happen if you don't do it. Here is another text before we get too far adrift. This listener has a 2014 Equinox. It's only got 55,000 miles on it. Texter says the transmission has never been changed. I assume they mean the fluid. He or she could not find the dipstick to check the color of the fluid. Question is, do I change it or just leave it alone? The vehicle is driving and shifting perfectly. Comes from
Ken. It's a good question. It's a good question. A lot of vehicles don't have dipsticks for transmission fluid, and in some cases even oil. A lot of times there's a way through the dashboard and you're on display to kind of go through and look at those different fluid levels. However, there will be a maintenance interval on that fluid, whether it's 60, 90, 100,000 miles. And most often now it's like a drain and fill on the transmission where we remove the drain plug, you know, remove the fluid. There's a specification what goes back in. And it's a little worrisome for some of us that are a little bit older because you like to have that dipstick to double check to make sure it's at the right level. But I assure you, if you remove the fluid and replace it with the quantity that's suggested, it'll be fine. So look in the manual. If there's nothing there, look online. Find your scheduled maintenance and kind of follow that that guideline.
Always a good guideline, absolutely. Again, 651-461-9226. Here is a 2014 Silverado 1500. The 8-speed automatic transmission shifts smoothly and perfectly in all 8 gears. After 15 to 30 minutes of driving, the transmission neutralizes and no gears work. Thatcher says, I cycle the key and then the transmission works perfectly again. After another 15 minutes, it happens again. Cycle the key and everything works again. What's going on there?
Well, it sounds like it's possibly, you know, a failed component, obviously, or some sort of safe mode. I suspect what's happening is that a solenoid is heating up and shorting out. When that happens, it neutralizes the transmission. We don't want to keep doing that because that's a lot harder on a lot of the other components inside there. So I think it's fair to say have somebody scan the computer, see if there's any fault code stored pertaining to the transmission, take it for test drive, have that scan tool connected. When that does neutralize or have no what they're describing there, hopefully there's some information on the data that there's a certain solenoid or a certain circuit that's no longer working properly. You know, then we pull out the schematic, find that circuit, and try to determine if it's something internal, external, what the remedy is. But I would say in this case, I'd probably get that in sooner than later because there might be a repair that can be done before we create more damage but requires replacement. And typically, I would say repair on a transmission would be less expensive than replacing one.
Well, I guess. If you're just joining us, Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive is answering any kind of a car care question you may have this Saturday morning. And we've been doing this for just about 30 years when you were just a pup, I think, Nick, right?
But like I told you, back at the State Fair, I can remember my first time doing the show by myself, and I felt like I was in a fishbowl, and it was when we were at the 11 o'clock hour, so the fair was packed, and I was so nervous and sweating bullets, that's for sure.
It's a whole different world, for sure. Doing a great job, however, all these years, and Nick is willing to take some more questions. So here's another one. In fact, here's one we get from time to time. I'm just going to kind of simplify it. It kind of goes on. It does not mention the type of vehicle, but I guess that really doesn't matter because the question is, again, this texture cannot fill the gas tank. It'll only go so much, then it clicks. What is going on there, and what's a remedy, do you think?
Well, I suspect there, you know, as you add fuel to the tank, there needs to be a way to allow the air that's in the tank to be removed. You know, there's only so much space. So as the fuel goes in and the air comes out, that's how that automatic nozzle clicks off. It feels that pressure coming up. There's a sensor there. It sees the pressure too high, so it clicks. Well, if the venting component of your fuel system isn't working, that air is not leaving the tank and going into the evaporative system to contain those vapors, and it's going to take forever to fill the tank. Likely there's a vent that's stuck. We've even seen cobwebs that are in there in that vent circuit that don't allow the air to flow through properly. That's just enough to trigger that fuel pump so you can't keep adding fuel. So that can be very frustrating, especially when the temperature gets colder. You take that in, explain that. Somebody can go through and kind of test those different components and do a few tests to figure out why that's happening. But I suspect there's something with the venting system of the evaporative fuel system there.
Wow, cobwebs. There's something you don't see every day. All right, hang on. We're going to take a quick break here. If you have any kind of a car question, don't wait. Let's hear from you. No matter what it is, car, truck, or van problems, ask Nick your question either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, 34 degrees. We are heading to near 48 today. We'll get up to near 41 tomorrow, and as far as Monday goes, Going to be a windy day. We'll get up to about 38, still above average temperature. Right now, 34 from Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CISO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel. Nick is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, I know you run the great place there. We have so much fun visiting from time to time and getting things done there for my vehicles. But for those folks that maybe need some help and they want to get a hold of you guys, how do we do that?
Yes, absolutely. If you have a question and need advice before you take your vehicle into your shop or dealership, you can ask us. We'll help. 651-228-1316. And as you know, Denny, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. That's 982 Grand in St. Paul. And then finally, I'd really appreciate if you checked out our website, and that's lloydsautomotive.net.
And we will give you that information again when Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. So if you have any problems with your car, your truck, your van, you want to know what might be ailing, call Nick right now or send a text if that's easier. One number will get you either 651-461-9226. Here's another text came in. Texter says, I have a 2019 Toyota Highlander. The rear tailgate door is activated by the dashboard button, the key fob, or the re-door activator switch. When these switches are activated, the door may or may not open. The dealer has quoted me $700 for new activation arms. You think there is a fix for this? I know you can't second-guess other folks, but what do you think?
Well, that's tough. You know, there's not, I guess, what I would say is if it's not working properly with all three switches, there's something in common. Like one thing is it's not one of the switches. It's not wiring for one of the switches. So if it's all three, what do they all three have in common? And those arms are very likely. And I'm assuming you brought it in the dealer. They did their assessment. They're able to print out and demonstrate why it needs that. Maybe there's an end around to try to prolong it a little bit. But honestly, I think likely that's where you'll end up. The pricing, I don't know. I'd have to, you know, dig deeper into that with the labor guide and parts catalog. But, you know, you're always free to get a second opinion. But I would think that that makes sense. And it is costly. But, you know, those a lot of these components on cars have gotten very expensive as things have changed. So that doesn't surprise me.
You know, one thing, and I'm looking at a text that I don't think we've seen in a long time or read here or heard via the phone, as frozen door locks. On cars. This texter evidently had some issues. Any preventative advice? And do you see that? I don't hear much about that. How about you guys at Lloyd's? Frozen locks during this time.
Well, you know, as we know, last winter wasn't very cold, and we'll right. have to kind of reset and remember ourselves. Most often what we'll see is it, you know, it seems like maybe it's a door lock, but it's really that the door's kind of stuck. So, example being on a cold day, you run through the automatic car wash. It does blow the car off, that you know, and dries it off. But water will make its way into that little rubber seal around the door. My advice is always, when you get home from or to work, where with that car wash, take a rag, wipe that rubber down. You know, get all that moisture off of there. Make sure that door jam is kind of dry. Also, that'll help prevent. So as the car sits overnight and things refreeze, prevent that rubber seal from sticking to the door, which kind of prevents it from starting or from opening. If you have remote start, another thing you can do on a cold morning is, if that is the case, run that remote start, you know, for a cycle. Hopefully the heat with inside the vehicle will be enough to kind of pop that open for you.
Now, again, we get this question every season, every time, every winter time around here. What about lubrication? I know there are some things you should not squirt into that your locking system there and doors, right? I mean, some things work, some things are not.
You know, it was much more common. There was some, like, graphite stuff that you could spray into, like, the key cylinder, which many cars don't have anymore. But, you know, that graphite stuff is okay. I wouldn't put any kind of oil-based lubricant because it will collect dirt and dust and kind of create another problem where things kind of get gummed up. You know, it'll work, but doesn't work very well or gets stuck sometimes. So I don't like to put any kind of lubricant. You know, a graphite might help, or some sort of cleaning agent, or sometimes you have a canned air where you can kind of blow that in there just to kind of blow away any of that debris that's kind of built up in there. But, you know, it's, you know, over the years, and it, like with all the remote door locks that we have now, we don't really use the key. You know, you and I have talked in the past, it's not a bad idea from time to time to take that blade and put it into that driver's door cylinder and cycle that key a couple of times. Make sure all that stuff is working as needed. When it gets cold out, if that car's battery is dead or your key fob's battery is dead and you're stuck out of your car, you'd like to know that that backup safety is there and operational for you.
You know, we talk about that every year at this time, and I keep putting it off myself. I keep forgetting to do that. And another thing, if you have a selector switch on a four-wheel drive vehicle, should you not, that's something else I don't do, shouldn't you kind of exercise that a little bit?
Absolutely. More and more vehicles are just all-wheel drive, so it's kind of hop in the right car and go. But, you know, if you have a truck or some of these SUVs where there's those options between two-high auto and four-wheel, you know, if it's in two-high, which is kind of where I leave my truck, it is a good idea from time to time to put into four-high just to, you know, get that actuator, get that transfer case moving around, get those axles moving around, make sure everything's freed up and, you know, exercised a little bit so on that one day when you do need it, it's there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to grab another text before we look at that forecast. Texas has a 2007 Chrysler Tahoe Country, only 140,000 miles on it. My concern, they say, is it's been very rusty because the people that had it before did drive it in the winter. My concern is, should I be worried about the frame of the car or any other components under the car that might be rusted out?
Well, that's kind of based on an inspection, obviously, and we have to be careful with rusty. You know, things can appear to look quite rusty, and if you'd live in Minnesota and that for several years, even with the treatments that they put on the metal and the coatings they put on there, it's going to make its way into it. It's a nature of where we live, and I would say that most cases, and I have to be careful because I haven't seen that vehicle, most cases it looks bad, but it's really not as bad as it looks. You know, we can get under there and kind of poke around. You know, you take it in for your next service, say, hey, my concern is it's very rusty. How are all those important points? And they can kind of look at those subframes and where those mounting areas are for the control arms. And if it's just a visual thing, you know, like a surface rust, nothing to worry about. If there's some holes that have developed, well, that's a different conversation. And when we do see that, and believe it or not, in some cases we can buy those subframes pieces and replace them, and you're back to a good, safe, reliable vehicle.
Oh, that's kind of neat. Nick, hang on. When we come back, I'm looking at a text. The texter wants to know your thoughts on the value of switching to winter tires. We'll talk about winter tires when we come back here at, right after the forecast on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to CISO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And Nick will be here till close to 7:45. So if you have any kind of issue with your car, your truck, your van, let's hear from you at 651-461-9226. Before we broke, texter wanted to know your thoughts on the value of switching to winter tires. What's your opinion of that?
You know, I would say, yes, they are better. And then I would follow up with, are they necessary? So I feel on most traditional vehicles, an all-season, a good quality all-season tire operates just fine. And if we have one of those really bad icy days, it doesn't matter what you have. You know, you're going to be slipping and sliding. So caution on those days without a doubt. The other thing with winter tires, you really need to buy a set of wheels to go with that. Tires are not really designed to be mounted and dismounted twice a year. You know, it's really hard on the rubber. You can, as it ages, the rubber compound changes, and you can, you know, it can get torn and create tire leaks. So my advice is, if you have the type of vehicle, which is usually the more sportier vehicles with a lower profile tire design, wheel design, your best bet is to find a nice winter tire wheel package and then seasonally rotate that. And as you're going to say, I know you got to remember, you need to store those other set of tires and wheels on the off season. So you kind of have to bring it to the shop, have them swapped out, lug them back home, put them in the garage or the basement somewhere. So make sure you have the space for them. So there's a little more thought than just flopping them around. You got to make sure you're willing to spend the investment because it can be costly. It will last longer, so keep that in mind. You know, you're half the year on each set of tires, so in theory, they'll last twice as long, which is likely true, but there's some expense with it and storage with it, too.
Yeah, storage is a big issue for most folks, I would say. Speaking of tires, here's another text. Texter says this, we have a tire that will lose air, especially in cold weather. Our car had not been driven for a few days during the cold weather. Yesterday, it showed 23, so we had air put in. It went to 24, but right back to 23. It has stayed there, but we know there's air in it. How can we tell how much air is in there?
Well, you know, depending on what we're using for a gauge, if you're reading the dash in the vehicle, you know, I would probably bring it in, have somebody with a digital gauge that's calibrated and accurate, fill it to the appropriate level, see what, you know, if we're talking about the dash indicator, if that's still not reading properly, maybe there's something wrong with that sensor, it's not reading properly. But if the fact is that you add a little air, it goes a few days and it comes right back down, there's likely some sort of leak, which if you let it sit long enough, you're going to have a flat tire. So I'd probably get that in, confirm that the levels are accurate, confirm that the readings are accurate. And if it is low or it keeps getting low, have them take a look at that one particular tire and wheel to see where there might be a leak.
I have a digital on my little portable compressor, and which is really slick. I don't know how accurate it is. Seems to reflect the accuracy from the car to the thing. But what about these little old-fashioned, old handheld things? Are they pretty accurate?
You know, that's all we had when we were kids at the gas station. And we used to sit there and flick them. And if anyone that worked at a gas station or a service station when they're younger remembers that. And I'm pretty sure that made them not very accurate. And then, you know, we're pushing on it, and then the numbers are faded, and you think you're around 30, 35, or whatever it was calling for. So I think with as cars have changed, tires are much more lower in profile, so the volume of air is less. They're a lot more sensitive to that. So many new vehicles on your dash, there'll be an indicator that actually shows the pressures, and that's pretty consistent and pretty accurate. You know, if you don't have such a system, you can always go to your dealership or service center and have them check the pressures when they service it, check the pressures. But you know, I if you buy one of those gauges, you can try it. It's a good way as a peace of mind. You know, if you check all four and they're the same, they look good, you're probably okay. You check all four, one is lower than the others, maybe you have a problem. So it's an inexpensive thing to have in the glove box just to kind of give you a peace of mind.
And you can flick it.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Wear it out. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I believe Mark checking in from Forest Lake this morning. Good morning, Mark. What is your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for the wonderful show you're presenting. I have a F-150, a 2016 F-150 XL. I've had an issue with the thermostat air not blowing up to the window, so I've actually brought it to a mechanic. They replaced this part called an actuator. Well, the first time they replaced it, this actuator thing kind of fell out from underneath the dash. So I had to go in. They replaced it again, and then it started making this kind of loud clicking sound when I'm starting the vehicle up. So I'm like, well, is it going to happen again? You know, is it going to fall out again? So they replaced it again. I asked for a bona fide Ford part. Well, now I notice it's still kind of clicking a little bit when I start it up, you know, when it's cooler and stuff. So is this going to be a problem for me, or what? Is there a part, is there issue with the part or the part that it's going up against, or why does it keep making a real loud clicking when I,
so that's
know,
a,
I start my vehicle up?
That's a maybe to all of those. So what possible, the clicking noise, that's my concern. If it's the actuator itself, you know, it seems strange you'd have multiple bad actuators, to be honest. I also worry that blender, which is also likely plastic, that actuator plugs into. So the actuator is a little electric component, it's a little motor that goes back and forth. When you plug it into your heater box, depending which part of the heater box, we're talking the defrost, and you plug it into that circuit or that system, it takes that blender, that plastic door, and moves it back and forth to allow the air to travel and to prevent the air from going in. So, you know, as you hit the different buttons or knobs on your heater panel, it kind of tells each different actuator to do something, open or close. Well, you're hearing a clicking because either it's not seated properly and the plastic gear on the actuator is clicking or rubbing incorrectly on that plastic door in the heater box. We don't want to damage that door in the heater box because that can become quite costly to repair or replace. So I would probably take it back again, explain to them when I'm starting the vehicle, something's happening. Maybe it's not indexed properly where it's trying to force it to a spot that it's not working. And you can only do that so many times before something does actually break. So I would take that as a bit of a priority. if you've already been there a few times and maybe you need to get a fresh set of eyes, try somebody else to get a, you know, and share with them. Say, hey, I'm a little bit frustrated. I'm concerned I got a bigger problem here. See what they have to say. You know, if they're responsive, say, oh, bring it back. I'm so sorry. Let's get to the bottom of it. Can you leave it overnight so we can try it in the morning? You know, if they're working with you, I'd stick with them. But if it's combative or, you know, it's that's fine, don't worry about it, you know better than that. If it didn't do that before, it shouldn't do that now. Maybe it's best to get a different set of eyes on it.
Very good. Nick, I want to alert our listeners that if we don't get, and we may get to one or two more questions, but if we don't get to the rest of them, then I feel bad about that. So I'm going to save those, and we'll open up the show next week. If we don't get to the rest of the questions, let's do that, as we've done in the past. Some good good stuff. Here is another one, 2014 Acura MDX, 110,000 miles on it. Persistent warning lights, quote, tighten gas cap. Emissions system problem. While the repair shop replaced the gas cap and purge valve, it's still unresolved. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, you need to kind of go back to the beginning. We talked about the evaporative systems earlier, about trying to fill up a fuel tank and the vent not working properly. Something similar, but you know, slightly different here. It's not sealing properly. So what happens is, you know, the fuel is a vapor, and it emits in the atmosphere, which is an emissions, and we don't want that. So we have a canister that those vapors are kind of contained into and stored. Under the right circumstances, the car's computer system will request a purge. So when you're driving down the road in a purge cycle, it opens the solenoid, takes all those fuel vapors, and burns them with the fuel, so we're not wasting anything. This situation, the car's noticing that the system's not sealed up, so it keeps flipping the light on. Well, it could be a purge solenoid. It could be the fuel cap. A quick, easy thing for the listener, take a little emery cloth, take your fuel cap off. That mating surface in the filler neck can get dirty and gummed up. Clean that out a little bit. You know, take a little emery cloth, scraping the corrosion. I wouldn't spray anything there because you don't want to contaminate anything. Take a dryer or a damp rag, wipe it down. Maybe put a little bit of a lubricant on the rubber seal, a little bit, I said, of the fuel cap. Tighten that back down. Have them reset it and see if that makes a difference. It can be easy and free. Otherwise, they need to dig a little deeper with something we call a smoke test to try to determine how that leak continues to happen.
All right. We are plumb out of time, Nick. Excuse me. We'll do this again next week if you have the time. I hope you do. We've got a lot of questions left over, so I will take these into consideration. We'll open up the show with them next week. Some good stuff. Interesting questions, as usual. So in the meantime, Nick, thank you for your help. How do we find Lloyd's? Because somebody just sent a text that said that we wish they had a Lloyd's in Milwaukee, a listener in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So you think about that, Nick. But in the meantime, tell us how we can get in touch with you in St. Paul.
Yes. Yeah, so if you have any questions, as we always say, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you're out doing some shopping on Grand Avenue for the holiday season, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. And then finally, please do check out our website, lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. Thanks so much for your help. Let's join forces next week.
Yes, I'll be on the road, so I'll make sure I get up early and have a good connection.
All right. Have some coffee and give us a call. Good deal. Thanks, Nick. Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive, will be with us again next Saturday. Yeah, I'm going to be saving these text messages, these questions, some good ones, and we'll open up the show. So tune in again next week.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.